thankful He's with us tonight. Amen. I take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked in there, he said he saw a fourth like unto the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar called him the fourth man, but he wasn't the fourth man. He was the first man. See, preacher, how do you know that? Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "In the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee." The Son of God was already in the fire before they ever got there. It was just Nebuchadnezzar counted them as four. And can I tell you tonight, before you ever face your trial, Lord Jesus Christ will be there before you ever get there. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. When you get there, if you'll stand in honor and reverence of the Word of God. I'm really just going to continue really what they just sung about tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "It's not expedient or necessary," Paul is saying, "for me doubtless to glory." The context is these false teachers were boasting about everything they could do. Paul didn't agree with boasting, but he was going to boast because he was defending his apostleship. So you understand, Paul's not boasting, but he is in the aspect because he's defending his apostleship and he's trying to get the church at Corinth to listen. He says, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." He's going to talk about visions, revelations of the Lord. He's going to go ahead. He's going to enter into the third person. He's going to be speaking about himself, but he's using the third person. He says, "I knew a man." He's talking about himself. "In Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven." Paul's going to talk about a personal experience that he had, where God elevated him above the stars, moon, and the sky into the third heaven where God the Father dwells. Paul said, "I don't know if I was in the Spirit. I don't know if I was physically there." He said, "I don't have a clue." Now, God knows. He said, "But I don't know." He's just telling us about it. Verse number 3, he said, "I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was called up into paradise." Remember, that's the word Jesus used on the cross. "And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter." He says, "I'm not allowed to tell you what I heard. Of such an one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, the same God, Lord, that departed the sea, Lord, that held up that water, Lord, not only in the Red Sea, but in the River of Jordan, Lord, the same God that was in the fire, Lord, the same God that was with Paul and all the things that he went through, Lord, is the same God that's with us tonight. Lord, here's what we ask of you, God, that as we simply explain the Word of God, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. Lord, understanding, God, that we're not exempt, Lord, of any trial. In fact, because of our faith, Lord, I believe, Lord, that we'll go through the fire. God, we'll experience affliction, we'll experience peril, Lord, we'll experience tragedy, we'll experience inconveniences, Lord, because our faith must be tested. Lord, I ask, God, that you'd help us tonight, Lord, to learn from your Word. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our life tonight. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Way back in 1799, an individual by the name of Conrad Reed discovered a 17-pound rock while fishing in Little Meadow Creek. He thought this rock was really neat. And in fact, just the other day, my children were out playing, and Eli pulled out of his pocket. We was actually in a revival meeting last night over at New Hope Baptist Church, and my son was sitting beside of me, and he pulled out this big old rock out of his pocket, and he said, "Daddy, look at it." And I was looking at it. He said, "Touch it, feel it, smooth, yeah." And he liked it, put it in his pocket, and for whatever reason, he kept it. And this guy, while he's fishing, found a 17-pound rock. He thought it looked cool, so he kept it. And he didn't know what it was made of, but they ended up using it in their house as a doorstop for 3 years. And then in 1802, 3 years later, his father, John Reed, took it. They thought it looked so wonderful, they actually took it to a jeweler. And that jeweler identified it as a lump of pure gold worth $3,600. Now remember, that was back in the early 1800s. The lump of gold, which was used as a doorstop for 3 years in North Carolina, was one of the biggest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rocky Mountains. Until its composition was determined, its value was unknown. Hence, they just threw it on the floor and made it a doorstop. They didn't know how much it was worth. Even so, until the composition of our faith is determined, its strength is unknown. God permits and allows trials in our lives not to hurt us, but to strengthen us. And really to prove us and to try us and to test us. In our text, Paul informs us that God has given him a thorn. An affliction, not to hurt him, but he's later going to arrive at the conclusion that I'm actually strong when I'm weak. This thorn is not to weaken Paul, to hurt Paul, but it's actually to strengthen him. A thorn is something which frustrates and causes trouble in the lives of Christians. That's simply what a thorn is tonight. Many times, the thorns that God sends our way, are not correctly stewarded. In other words, God permits thorns to come into our life, and many times we get in the flesh, we don't have the right outlook, and we don't steward, we don't handle that thorn correctly. We allow them in our lives sometimes to cause bitterness. You may have experienced a tragedy, and you got bitter over it, you didn't handle it the right way, and maybe there's that inconvenience in your life and you didn't steward that thorn, if you will, the right way. Maybe it caused you to shift your focus off of Christ and onto the circumstances. Remember, that's what Peter did when he was going through the storm. He took his eyes off Christ and got it on the things around him, and it caused him to sink. But whatever the case may be, if we're not careful, thorns come into our life and we don't steward them the right way. And I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, stewarding the thorn. Stewarding the thorn. I dare say that every single one of us will, if you haven't already, you'll encounter thorns in our life. They must be stewarded correctly. Steward means to manage. It means literally be a good caretaker. It means to handle something given to us correctly, to do it the right way. And if we're going to steward our thorns correctly, there are important principles that Paul has laid out in this passage for us that we need to understand. The first one is this. I'll give you a couple of them tonight. The first one is this. With every thorn, there is a purpose. With every thorn, there is a purpose. Now, let's jump back to our text, verse number 2, if you will. Look with me. I knew a man in Christ, talking about himself, above 14 years ago, whether in body, I cannot tell. Whether out of body, I cannot tell. Paul said, I don't know if I was in the spirit, my body, I don't know. But he says, God knows. Such a one called up to the third heaven. That's the abode of God. He says, I knew such a man. Again, whether in body, out of body, I cannot tell. God know it. Verse 4. How that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now, the key to all of this is verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It's interesting, Paul's going to tell us for 14 years, you know, no other epistle is really going to mention him going to the third heaven. For 14 years, he's kept quiet about this vision of going up into the third heaven. I find it interesting. In fact, I did a little research Verse number 2, he says, 14 years. I did a little research. Do you know that there's over 100 books of people who personally testified that they died, went to heaven, and come back, and now they've wrote a book about it? They have movies about it. I find it interesting. I don't know if you subscribe to that or not. I find it interesting that all these people that say, by the way, can I call time out and say, I'm very suspicious of that. Very suspicious, okay? Because if Paul went there, preacher, how do we know? Did Paul really go there? Yes, it's in the Word of God. He went there. He's not lying to us. He went there, and for 14 years, he didn't tell nobody. And even here, he says, I forbear. I not really want to tell you. And if God tells him, by the way, I'm going to let you in on some things. I'm going to let you see some things. Oh, but by the way, Paul, you're not allowed to talk about it. Then why in the world would all these other people get to go to heaven and they can write books, sell movies, make a lot of money? If he tells Paul, oh, by the way, you're not allowed to even say nothing about it. In fact, that's what he says. Verse number 4, he said, which is not lawful for man to utter. In other words, you know what's interesting in this text? And by the way, I'm getting somewhere with this. Paul, not one time in this text, tells you one thing of what he saw. Not one thing. He tells you nothing. He says, I heard some things, and what I did hear, God told me I can't tell you about it. But isn't it funny that we have all these people that want to give us all the details of heaven, of what they saw when they stood before the Lord? Can I tell you, I believe it's nonsense. I just do. I believe it's nonsense. I'm very suspicious of people like that. Paul, 14 years, said, I wasn't even allowed to tell you about it. What I can tell you about it, God told me I can't tell you about it. I can't even tell you what I saw, what I heard. God ain't let me tell you about it. But see, the text isn't even about this third heaven. The text isn't even about Paul's vision, if you will. The reason in even mentioning this vision was not to even mention the vision, but it was to explain the dangers of how God did not want him to be prideful about it. Look with me, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure, that's pride, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Paul says, you know why God gave me a thorn in the flesh? Because God's given me abundance of revelations. He's let me in on a lot of things in my life. And if I'm not careful, I can get prideful with it. Paul could be boastful. I mean, you think of all the wonderful things that God let Paul in on. The thorn was to keep Paul from being proud and to be more Christ-like. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Abundance of revelations, abundance of visions is to prevent him from being proud. Because God revealed to me abundance. That means I got to see so many visions. And because I've seen so many visions, God gave me a thorn. See, in our text, Paul got to see the vision of the third heaven. Paul had a revelation of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia asking him to come over and help. Paul had a vision one night on a ship that was about to sink that the angel of the Lord stood before him and said, hey, Paul, everything's going to be all right. Paul had a lot of visions. He had a lot of personal encounters. If anybody was going to glory in boast, Paul could have done that. But Paul said, because of all the abundance of these visions, guess what God gave me? A thorn. He gave me a thorn in my flesh. See, we need to understand tonight, Paul was not immune to the danger of pride. This really is just a coincides with what we preached on Sunday. Paul was not immune to the danger of pride. And can I tell you tonight that nobody in this room is immune to the danger of pride? He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. I said all that because I want you to understand that every thorn. By the way, I got to be, some of y'all posted, I think it was Bree. She posted on there about all the crazy things I say. I got to be careful about what I'm saying. I know who you are. I just about said one of them. Anyway, if I say them, y'all just, we're going to drive on anyway. All right? I need to get them all out of the way. Every thorn God permits in our life has a purpose. Paul said the reason my thorn was so that I wouldn't be prideful because of all the visions that God let me see. And so, here's what we have to understand tonight. Every thorn that God permits into our life has a purpose. The specific purpose may not be known, but the broader purpose, the specific purpose for Paul is not to be prideful. We may not know, but here's what the broader purpose is this, to make us more like Christ. You realize every convenience, every issue, every tragedy, every problem that comes into your life is to make you more like Christ. Every vision Paul was a part of, I believe, was to help him continue on. Because you have to understand, Paul wasn't carrying around the New Testament. He didn't have scripture of I'll never leave thee nor forsake. He didn't have a lot of the New Testament promises that we have today. And so I believe that God, all the things that Paul went through, I believe God let him get in on some good land. He's about to be shipwrecked. He thinks he's going to die. What happens? God shows up to him and says, hey, Paul, hey, listen to me, Paul. You're not going to die. Everything's going to be all right. You remember Paul, he's out in the water in the middle of the night holding on to a piece of wood. He don't know what's going to happen, but he's holding on to the promise that God showed up and told him, you're going to be all right, Paul. I believe God gave him some visions to help him through, to help him continue going. I believe God let him see heaven here in chapter number 12. Could it be, y'all bear with me, could it be that's when he wrote Romans 18. You think with me all the horrible things that Paul went through. God says, hey, I'm going to show you something. And he lifts him up above the first heaven, that's the sky, that's the clouds. Past the second heaven, that's the stars, moon, into the third heaven. And he lets him get a glimpse of heaven. Could it be, that's when he wrote Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Could it be that God just let him in on those to help Paul keep going? I don't know. But here's what I do know. God let him see these abundance of visions, these revelations. But he did not permit him to get prideful about the vision by sending him a thorn. That thorn caused him to be more like Christ. How did it cause him to be more like Christ? Because the opposite of pride is what? Humility. Humility is the very nature of Christ. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That thorn caused Paul to be more like Christ. And can I say tonight, your thorn, if you steward it correctly, will allow you to be more like Christ. Every thorn has a purpose. The thorn prevented pride, which permitted humility, which promoted Christ. Every trial, every affliction, every inconvenience that God puts in your way has a purpose. What is the purpose? It's to make you more like Him. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Every thorn tests our faith to prove if we are who we say we are. Yeah, preacher, I'm a Christian. I love God. That's what we tell people, isn't it? What about when that inconvenience comes your way? Does your lifestyle match your lips? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to hear a message tonight. Then, Lord willing, at the end of the message, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to apply this to my life. And guess what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to be tested on it. It'll come your way. It may not be a tragedy, but it may be an inconvenience. And here's what you got to decide. Okay, this has a purpose. Let me steward it correctly. Or you're going to forget everything. You're not going to apply it. You're going to get in your flesh. You're going to say, why does this always happen to me? See, there's two options. But here's what you understand. Every thorn has a purpose. Number two, every thorn, with every thorn, there's a purpose. Number two, with every thorn, there is a perspective. A perspective. So, preacher, what do you mean? Everyone can view a thorn or a trial differently. But having the proper perspective allows us to steward it correctly. Where are we getting that from? Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul says, man, he's given it to me so I don't get prideful. I'm not exalted above measure. Through the abundance of these revelations God's given to me. Notice what he says. There was, notice the phrase here, given to me a thorn in the flesh. He says there was given to me. He reckoned or he considered this trial, watch this now, to be a gift. You know what he didn't say? What a lot of Baptists say? Well, this was inflicted upon me. This happened to me. But he said, no, it was given to me. What does that tell us? Paul understood, if it's something is given to you, that means there has to be a giver. Would y'all agree with me? Not chance, not coincidence. He said, this was given to me. So here is his perspective. This comes from the Lord. This comes from God. God permitted, let's read our text. Look with me in verse number 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted. There he says it again. Lest I should be exalted above measure. God permitted a messenger. Messenger is where we get the word angel in the Greek, angelos, be a fallen angel, to afflict Paul. But you have to understand, God allowed it. God permitted it. See, listen. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, they're trying to get at you all the time. And it's only by the permission of God that He allows that to happen. And in Paul's life, He's going to allow a fallen angel, a messenger, to buffet or to strike Paul. He says the messenger of Satan is going to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Here's the neat thing that we have such a great God. He can even use the devil to accomplish His will. Isn't that interesting? God can even use the devil to accomplish His will through it. Buffet means to strike, to punch, to constantly hit. God permitted it. Maybe you've looked in the face of a Christian who's always smiling. Maybe you've looked in the face of that Christian who's always smiling. Seems like they never have a worry in their life. Maybe you look at them, they're always happy and radiant. And then you think about your own circumstances. You say in your heart, I wish I were like them. They don't have any problems. He don't have to take what I do. But perhaps if you've lived long enough, you know this, that sometimes the most radiant faces hide the greatest pressures. And often the man who's being the most blessed of God is being the most buffeted by Satan. What was the thorn of this affliction? I don't have a clue. Some theologians, some commentators would say it was spiritual harassment. People say, well, maybe it was just the persecution that Paul went through. Many would say, well, it was a physical or a mental ailment. Historian William Ramsey said that he believed it was some sort of malaria that Paul suffered as a missionary. Different things. Some theologians would believe that it was a eyesight impairment because Paul had he did not have a good eyesight based on his earlier epistles. But here's the truth. We don't know what it is. Okay, we don't know what this specific thorn is. And every one of these suggestions, sure, they could be possible, but God had a purpose in not revealing what exactly the thorn was. And here it is. Because if we knew exactly what Paul's thorn was, then everybody who was afflicted, but not in that way, would doubt that Paul's experience was relevant for them. So you know what God does in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? You ain't going to tell them what the thorn is, because here's the thing. It may be different for you, and it may be different for you, but here's the truth. We all have thorns. We all have thorns. It's our perspective. God wanted everyone with any kind of thorn in the flesh to be able to put themselves in Paul's shoes. And everybody can debate what the thorn is or what it's not, but our focus should not be on the thorn, but our focus should be on the God that permits the thorn. He said, it's given to me. It came from God. That's my perspective. That's what he's viewing tonight. And Paul could have told us what the thorn was, but God forbade him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But what he does tell us is that it comes from him. Listen, perspective determines behavior. So when you understand this, all right, every thorn has a purpose. Then you understand this, that with every thorn there is a perspective. What is my perspective? It came from God. God given him that thorn. So God's put this thorn in my life that's going to help me steward it correctly. Perspective determines behavior. If I know it comes from God, I'll respond better. Therefore, I'll steward my thorn correctly. Somebody said this, when Goliath came to the Israelites, the soldiers thought, oh my goodness, he's so big, we cannot kill him. Somebody said this, but you know what, David, when he saw the very same giant, he said, he's so big, I can't miss. Same giant, two different perspectives. Your perspective determines your behavior. Let me tell you what will really mess you up. This is just a chance. This is just coincidence. This is just destiny. That's garbage. When you say, you know what? God's permitted this into my life. He's given it to me. This thorn's got a purpose. God's given it to me. My perspective will help me steward correctly the thorn that God gives to our life. With every thorn, there's a purpose. With every thorn, there's a perspective. Number three, with every thorn, there is a plan. With every thorn, there is a plan. Paul did what he taught and he believed. What did he teach, preacher? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord. I went to the Lord in prayer. I went to God about this thorn. What's the plan, preacher? Take it to God. Go to the Lord about it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. With every thorn, there's a plan. What's the plan? He said, I took it to the Lord. For this thing, I besought the Lord. That's y'all's silly question. I've got a Dodge truck out there. And let's say that the only three mechanics in the whole state of North Carolina was a Ford dealership, Chevy dealership, Dodge dealership. Now, I know what all y'all thinking. You thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Ain't none of us taking that thing to a dealership because y'all know they charge way too much to fix stuff. Can I get a witness? Y'all going to do it? We're going to post it on Facebook. Anybody know of a good mechanic? We're going to be talking. Hey, where's it going to be? You know what I mean? But for the illustration's sake, let's just say in the state of North Carolina, there's only three dealerships. There's only three mechanics, Ford dealership, Chevy dealership, Dodge dealership. What would it make the most sense for me to take my Dodge to? Why? Because they manufactured it. They know all the ins and outs of the Dodge. If God gives us the thorn, don't it just make a lot more sense to go to Him about the thorn? See, I'm not against doctors, I'm not against therapists, I'm not against psychiatrists, I'm not against preachers, I'm not against church members, I'm not against friends, I'm not against families. But can I tell you, the very first person you ought to take your thorn to is none of them, but it's Him. That, Paul said, the plan, he said, I'm taking it to God. I besought Him, I'm going to Him. Paul knew that God permitted the thorn. It's probably good to go to Him about getting some help for it. So, every thorn's got a purpose. There's a reason behind it. It's going to make me more like Christ. My perspective, it comes from Him. So if it comes from Him, I'm going to go to Him. He knows all about it. I'm going to go to Him. And let me throw this in here. Paul understood praying repeatedly or not giving up by asking more than once. Look with me in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord, what? Thrice. Here's one of my phrases, the redneck version. That's three times. Three times. He didn't go just once. He didn't go just twice. He went three. And guess what? If he wouldn't have got his answer, he probably would have went 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. But he kept asking God. Hold your spot real quick, please. Go to Mark chapter number 14. Just go there quickly. Go there quickly. Mark chapter number 14. Look with me, verse number 37. Mark 14, 37. Jesus is in the garden. This is before His crucifixion. Look with me, verse number 37. And He cometh and findeth them sleeping, saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. For the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And he went away and prayed and spake the what? Now I want to ask you a question. Sure does sound like to me that Jesus is repeating Himself. Paul does the same thing. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. You may not get an answer on the first time. You may not get an answer on the second time. Paul understood that. He said, I got to go to God about this thing. Something about importunity that God loves. I can't understand it. But He loves when we are dependent upon Him. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. One of the reasons I believe that is because it makes us to be in constant fellowship with Him. Keep coming to Him. And He says, I went to Him three times. Three times. He didn't get the answer to the third time. Sometimes we don't get answers because we quit too soon. We give up. Paul, three times, and God answers him on the third time. With every thorn, there is a purpose. What is the purpose? Make us more like Christ. With every thorn, there is a perspective. He gave it to me. My outlook determines my behavior. With every thorn, there is a plan. What is it? I have to go to God. He gave it to me. Let me go to Him. And then number four, lastly, with every thorn, there is provision. With every thorn, there is provision. Look with me, verse number 9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Watch this. If he wouldn't have prayed that third time, he wouldn't have got the grace necessary to go through that thorn. That's why you can't give up praying, church. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Instead of removing the thorn from Paul's life, God gave His grace to Paul. The grace God gave Paul was sufficient for the thorn. And can I tell you tonight, God will bestow upon you grace that will help you and be sufficient for your thorn. Paul was desperate. Listen, let's not play this lightly. I believe Paul was desperate. And I know I didn't get a lot of detail on this, but you have to understand, whatever that thorn was, it was sent from the gates of hell. He said, he's buffeting me. And has the idea of a boxer punching the ribs until he's black and blue. Paul's hurting, and he's going to the throne of grace saying, God, I need some help. Please, God, help me. He's struggling. He needs help. He's desperate for relief. But you know, there's two ways of relief. The first one is this. It can come by removing the load. Sometimes God will remove the thorn out of your life. He'll remove it. Sometimes that cancer will not show up on the next report. Sometimes a miracle will take place. And we praise the Lord for it, and we give God all the credit. But can I tell you, there's other times it's not by removing the load, but it's by strengthening the shoulder that bears the load. Instead of taking away the thorn, God strengthened Paul underneath the thorn. God's going to show His strength through Paul's weakness. He says, my grace is sufficient. What does sufficient mean? It means enough to meet the needs of the situation. What is grace? It's divine enablement. God would give Paul enough divine enablement to meet his need. I love what Jesus tells Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient. It's not was sufficient. It's not shall be sufficient. It is sufficient. It means right now, in this moment, Paul, it's sufficient for you. And sometimes we don't need it tomorrow, and we didn't need it yesterday, but we need it right here in the moment. God, I need you right now. He says, my grace is present tense sufficient for you right now, Paul. Now, I don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Could it be Paul? Sure. Don't have a clue. But notice what the author of Hebrews wrote later down the road. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Paul said, I went to the Lord. That was my plan. I went to the Lord and He gave me what I needed. God would give Paul enough divine enablement to meet his need. Listen, every thorn should drive us to God. Every thorn. What's the plan, preacher? Every thorn we face, every convenience ought to drive us to God, which in turn drives Him to dispense His grace upon us. Every thorn, there is provision. What is the provision, preacher? It's God's grace. With every thorn, there's a purpose. What is the purpose? It's going to make you more like Christ. Listen, it may not be a big tragedy. Maybe a small thing. It may be something that really... It may be that person at work. You know what I'm talking about, who just gets under your skin. Maybe that inconvenience at the traffic light. It may be your health. It may be a job situation. I don't know. But every thorn has a purpose, and it's going to make you more like Christ. Every thorn has a perspective. You have to understand your perspective. It comes from Him. God allows it. God permits it. Every thorn has a plan. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And every thorn Somebody help me. What's the fourth one? I forgot it. Provision. Praise the Lord. It's His grace. God gives us grace in time of need. So here's the thing. I've given you God's Word. Took good notes. Hopefully you'll apply it. This week, you're going to get a thorn. I promise you, you will. You're going to get a thorn. It may not be big, may be small, may be big. I don't have a clue. Because Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to get a thorn. Steward it correctly. Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight. God, I ask, Lord, that You help us apply the Word of God to our life. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord God.